Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2. We want to continue looking at utterance in the resurrection. And like we've said, it's a companion teaching to the kind of meetings we're having on Sundays and the one we're going to have on Saturday. Let me counsel us to do our very best to come on time on Saturday. A believer's meeting is not the kind of meeting you go late to. When you're late for a believer's meeting, it has a very strange sensation on the human heart. That's because we usually pick up direction concerning how the meeting will go at the beginning of the meeting, when we come together. Hallelujah. You notice that in Acts chapter 2, the believers were gathered together. And after they had spent time in tongues, then other people came. Those who were mocking, those who were unbelieving, they came afterwards. 1 Corinthians 14. This is not my text. I just want to just share this with us so that we'll understand why it's important for us to come on time. So, in 1 Corinthians 14 also, verse 23, the believers were gathered into one place. And there came in those who are unlearned and unbelievers. You know, the way Paul wrote is very interesting. So he says, those who are unlearned are the ones who have a tendency to come late. And they're unbelievers who don't have any reverence for the things of God. So the unbelievers are those who are unlearned in the things of the Spirit. So if you are learning in the things of the Spirit, what will you do? You'll come on time. Okay, so even people who come to service late now, you know they're unlearned by their own personal qualification. You know, so when you stroll into church, when service, when worship is going on, or when they just finish exhortation, or towards the end of worship, you're saying you're unlearned. That means that you're unschooled in the things of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you were not taught. It means you refused to actually allow the knowledge to shape your conduct. That's what it means. You are as unto carnal, according to God's word. Okay? So, when you're coming for that kind of meeting, usually when we come together, at the beginning of the meeting, we tend to set the direction for the whole meeting. So, if you come in later, we should not find this strange if you are picking up something different from what we have picked up. Because you were not with us when we started. We are in one accord. You came with discord. So, we want to avoid discord. So, we appeal to you, please. 9 a.m. is what? 9 a.m. So, please don't be a believer, be a Christian. Don't be a one of those people who plan to go to. They've carried the word principle into church. You know, they always go to parties late, so they think church is a party. They also plan to say, we want to be fashionably late. May you not be fashionably late to church. Because there's nothing fashionable about being late to church. Amen. All right, Acts 2. All right, so, utterance and resurrection. From verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak the word, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, jump with me to verse 33 that we saw, verse 32 that we saw last week, and we're going to continue from there. This Jesus, so this is Peter giving an explanation. So Peter's sermon was summarized in Acts chapter 2. Remember, if you go to verse 16, look at verse 16. But let me read from verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The Spirit was in expression. How did they communicate the things of the Spirit with words? So Peter stood up. Then the 11 took their cue from Peter. They also stood with him, making 12. That means the 120 people were initially seated. So there was only order. There was only order. Can you have the flow of the meeting of the Spirit strong in a meeting and people are seated? Yes. So Peter stood up and then the 11 stood up with him also. Peter was what you would call a first responder or a quick responder. Peter was one of those who yield to the decision of Spirit readily and easily. So notice, Peter said, hearken to my words. So Peter began to use the scriptures to explain, because the things of the Spirit, the word of God itself is also called the things of the Spirit. The word of God is also called what? The things of the Spirit. That's what the word of God is. So here's Peter beginning to explain the phenomena. What occurred? How men were filled, that is, they began to speak. Now, again, it has never happened before in that fashion. Had men spoken by the Spirit of God before? Yes. Had men spoken in this particular fashion before? No. Let me say it again. Tongues, which is supernatural utterance, is a signal to something great, something big, with respect to the fulfillment of God's promise to man. Tongues is a signal. That supernatural utterance called tongue is a signal, is a pointer to something big with respect to the fulfillment of God's promise to man. Very important. So, had men spoken by the Spirit before? Yes. Had they ever spoken in this particular manner before? No. Because Jesus said, in my name, that is based on my accomplishment, they shall speak the word new. New means no one has ever spoken in this manner before. So there was a newness, number one, not just in what they said, in how they said it. How did they say it? They were filled and they began. That word began is what was new, what was different. Never in the history of man or the earth have men ever been able to begin. Never. Because to begin signified that they had the right, that they had the desire, that they had the spirit in them, and they could yield to the spirit at will. They were filled, that is, they began to speak. So that word began is a pointer to the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a different dispensation entirely. They could begin. They could begin. So that they could begin was a major difference. No one had ever been able to begin. So, for the first time, waiting on God now has a different definition. So, do we wait on God today? Yes, we do. What do we mean? Are we waiting for God to do something? No. We're waiting on God to take off God what God wants to do. That's the difference. So, men waited on God, that means they wait for God to move them or to prompt them. But we wait on God today to pick up what God wants to do, and then we give it expression. There's a difference. So waiting on God is no longer a passive activity. Waiting on God for the believer is an active activity, so to speak. I mean to use that word. It's something you don't do. It's something. So if you say, are you waiting on God with respect to the needs of the Spirit? You say, yes. You must show me in your actions that you're waiting. Because to wait on God means you take off the things of the Spirit. That means to wait on God means you act on the authority of God's word. So what we saw on the day of Pentecost was men who had been schooled, who had been taught over a period of 40 days, acting on the impulse, acting on the word of God, which is the things of the Spirit, to express the things of the Spirit. That's what was happening. So Peter begins to explain. So again, last we saw something. Look at 32. This part of Peter's explanation in verse 32. Peter said, this Jesus, so the crux of what you are seeing, the crux of the things of the Spirit, the crux of utterance, which is tongues for interpretation, it is that this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnessing. Let me explain. We are witnesses and we are witnessing. We are witnesses, that is proof producers, therefore we are witnessing. That's what he's saying. So we are witnesses. What is a witness? He is the living proof and the embodiment of an invisible reality. What is the invisible reality? This Jesus has God raised up. Remember that in Paul Peter's sermon, when Peter mentioned God raising Jesus up, he says God has shown him to a few selected witnesses. So Jesus' resurrection did not appear to everyone. He appeared to a set of people when I became witnesses of that resurrection. Now, you are seated here this evening. You are a witness of his resurrection. You are not an eyewitness. You are a spirit witness. Peter and the 11 and the 120 and the 500, they were eyewitnesses. You are not an eyewitness. You are what? A spirit witness. So when Peter was speaking, he says, whereof we are witnesses. So they were witnesses in the sense that the revelation or the outcome of God raising Jesus from the dead is the indwelling of the Spirit for which they were witnesses. Now, Peter was an eyewitness, first of all. He was also a spiritual witness, but that the Spirit of God that came from that resurrection now dwelled in Peter. Say amen. So you can say it this way, whereof we are witnesses, and therefore we are witnessing. We are witnesses, and therefore we are what? Witnessing. So to witness means you constantly give expression to that reality. That's what Peter is saying. So Peter is using the scriptures to explain the experience. And as you go on, you will see why that is so important. Because the backbone, what gives you confidence with respect to the things of the Spirit, is the events explained in the Scriptures. So that you will never be at the mercy of emotions or feelings. Because again, you can be held captive or held to ransom by the way you feel part time if you don't have the understanding of God's word. Why is Peter teaching? Peter also having learned for 40 days. Peter having had some of his biases, some of the areas where he had questions answered in a 40-day teaching. Peter could begin. John could begin. James could begin. Jesus' mother, Mary, could begin. They were taught. So what made them to begin? There was something that happened on the inside of them with respect to the revelation of God's word, through the teaching of God's word, that enabled them to begin. What does it mean to begin? Look at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, what? The Holy Ghost is one come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, that's proof producers, unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, but you shall what? Receive power. So the word receive means to actively take something that's available. So you shall. The word shall, it speaks of ability. You shall take hold of power. You shall take of power. It is the taking of power that enables the Holy Ghost to come upon you. Let me say it this way. If you read that in English, here's how it sounds. You shall receive power. And after you receive power, the Holy Ghost will not come on you. No. The receiving power is the Holy Ghost coming on you. You can't see the Holy Ghost. We can only see the activity of the Holy Ghost through men. So it is the man who is taking power that the Holy Ghost is upon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice. So again, where were we? How did they begin? They began. That's important. If we didn't have that word, everyone will still think whatever happened in Acts chapter 2 was a sovereign move of God. Have you heard that word before? The sovereign move of God. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. But the problem with many people is their definition of sovereignty. Sovereign doesn't mean God does anything anyhow. Even when you say God does anything anyhow, we know the anyhow it is in Christ Jesus. In that he raised him from the dead. That's God's anyhow. You cannot use anyhow as a parameter outside of God raising Jesus from the dead. Because that's how you became a witness, a spirit witness. And that's how you're able to witness now. So him being raised up is you having the spirit. You having the spirit is you being able to begin. You being able to begin is you taking power. Can you see the sequence? So go back to that now. Look at verse 32 again. This Jesus has got raised up. We're one what? Witnesses. Next verse. Therefore, or as a result of that resurrection means he is at the right hand of God, that is, he's what? Exalted. Can you see that? And we, as a result of his exaltation, having what? Received of the Father, what? The promise of the Holy Ghost. How do you know Jesus is exalted? We have received the promise of the Holy Ghost. You were not there when he was raised. You are a witness of his resurrection because of what you have received. What did you receive? What the Father promised. What did the Father promise? The Holy Ghost. So he says, we haven't received from the Father. He has set forth this, and that's where we're going. Notice, who received the promise of the Father? Who received the promise of the Father? We. Who set forth? He. According to that scripture. Notice, he therefore exalted. He being therefore what? By the hand of God exalted. We haven't received, then he sets forth. So can you see the he, we, he? Can you see that? E, we, and E. And it's a bonus. So E being by the hand of God exalted, we haven't received. E as what? Shed forth. Can you see that? Now go back to verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So this is Peter explaining. I'm going back now to explain what he just said in verse 33. Notice, it shall come to pass. This will happen. This will be fulfilled in the last days. What's the last days again? What's the last days again? In his resurrection. Thank you. So, said God, I will pour out what? Of my spirit. Now, notice a word that Peter added that Joel didn't use. If you go to Joel 2:20 where it's quoted, Joel literally said, then will my spirit be poured out. The word I is absent in the original Hebrew. then will my spirit be poured out, or then will my spirit pour out. That's what Jude actually said. Now, Peter now said, it shall come to pass, said God, that I will pour out of. I'll pour out of. So, when you want to pour something out of, can we say that thing must already be in? Good. So, because that thing is already in, you can pour it out of. So, where was the spirit when the spirit was poured out? In heaven or in men? Good. So, who is the high we pour out? God or man? God or man? There's no answer you give that's not correct. Who is written that he will pour out? Who is written that will pour out? It's God now. It shall come to pass, said last year, I will what? Pour out. So who will pour out? 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 It's not a trick question. You will ask. You will read that verse of scripture. Read it again. Let one, two, go. Let's go. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Say it. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Stop. You now see the word "and" is the explanation of that statement. That is, what does it mean? I will pour out my spirit. That is, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So, what does it mean for God to pour out? It is you and I prophesying. Is this simple? It is you and I prophesying. So let's flip it. If you and I don't prophesy, God will not pour out. Why? Because in English, as how people think, God said, I will pour out. So you are waiting for cup or basin. God will just be like, oh, how many are people already? No. It's spiritual language. The word pour out, the word pour, interestingly means, I will empty out of my spirit. That's what shed forth also, which you also find in verse 33. I will empty out. So my spirit, already inside me, will find the expression. When you see my spirit in the expression, know I am the one actively pouring out. So here's the issue. In the epistles, in the spirit of the New Testament, every single saint and believer is a co-laborer with God. We're co-laborers with God. That's where the secret is. So, and then he uses a phrase you can easily miss in this verse 17. See what it says. It shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my spirit of all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall what? See visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Look at verse 18. Look at how we switched it. And on my what? Servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my what? So I will pour out of my. So who are servants and handmaidens? The sons and daughters in the previous verse. So he's telling you in the spirit, in the last days, in the day of the resurrection, he says every son and every daughter will equally be a young man and a handmaiden. That is, every single saint will be a minister because they will have the spirit to dispute or to pour out. So the spirit in you makes you a minister of Christ. It is not ordination that makes you a minister. It is the spirit in you that makes you a minister. What ordination does is to separate you. And that's why they separate people who are not separated. Today. You don't see me before. You just put you aside. Pour olive oil. Give you title. And you are empty. You know, so that's not ordination. When it comes to ordination, when it comes to what makes you a minister, is the Spirit of God within you that makes you, by constitution, you are made a minister because out of you, God will pour out. What is God pouring out? Your sons and daughters shall. So what does it mean? It means every son and every daughter will take their place in ministry when they begin to act on the reality of the indwelling of the Spirit. He being by the right that God exalted, we haven't received. He has shed forth, which is me and you prophesying. Glory to God. Once you get the pronouns, you understand. So therefore, how do we see God pouring out? It is you and me prophesying. So in a meeting, why don't we always see God pour out? Correction, we don't always see men prophesying. It is the men who are not prophesying that is actually God not pouring out. So it is not God that is unwilling, it is men, which is we are meant to be fulfill their own end of the bargain, who are not. So on the day of Pentecost, listen carefully, there was a sound, there was cloven tongue like as of fire, and yet there was no movement among men until they began to speak. Who heard the sound? The 120. Who saw the flames of fire? The 120. What did we eventually see when they began? All those others, we didn't see those things. It is when they began that we saw spirits. We didn't see spirit in their what they heard and what they saw. We saw spirit in when they began. It was their beginning that we can call spirit. Because it was when they began when I said, God has poured out the spirit upon all flesh. Can you see that? Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So remember, I will pour out of my spirit is you and I prophesying. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You notice what gifts italicized? So it says, now concerning things of the spirit, or things that pertain to the spirit. What spiritual means? Things that pertain to the spirit. I would not have you what? Ignorant. So again, this is not the first line of communication, obviously. 1 Corinthians 12 is not the first line of communication concerning things of the spirit. It's actually a line of correction. That means he had been discussing things of the spirit from chapter 1. When he got to 1 Corinthians 12, he now began to explain the areas where correction was needed. I would not have you willfully ignorant. Now, notice in verse 4, okay? Look at verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to what? Understand. So, what did they lack? Understanding. I give you to understand. How do you give someone to understand? By giving instructions. Instructions with respect to what they already had. So, is a man spiritual by having the spirit? Yes. What will make the spiritual man act spiritually by receiving instructions that aid understanding? So wherefore I give it to understand, no man speaking. So again, when the Spirit of God is in operation, what is the first thing that we see? Movement or sound? Sound. No man speaking by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus what? A curse. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by what? The Holy Ghost. Pay attention to that instruction. No man can say Jesus. Now, when you hear this, now say, no man can say Jesus is Lord. That's by the Holy Ghost. That's not what he's talking about. What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? It means to acknowledge that God has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. If you acknowledge God has raised him from the dead, you're not just going to say it with words, you will demonstrate it by the Spirit. When you say no man can say Jesus is Lord, it means no one can demonstrate through the operation of the Spirit except the things of the Spirit that have to do with resurrection. You won't find an expression except by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's trying to say. It's not just saying you just open your mouth and say, Jesus Lord, Jesus Lord, Jesus Lord. A man can say without believing it. So that's what he's talking about. Jesus is Lord simply means you believe that God has what? Raised him from the dead, or he has what? Highly exalted him. Hallelujah. So let me read on quickly. It says, verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts but the same Spirit. There are difference of administrations but the same Lord. There are diversity of operations, but it is what? The same God, which what? Worketh all in all. So what does he want you to understand? Spirit. What does he want to pay attention to in spirit? You will see the same spirit in expression in different ways. So it is the same Lord. Don't mix it up. It is the same God who is working all in all. Look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, let me explain this. It's important. The word manifestation is not our English manifestation as we need today. The word manifestation means full disclosure. The unveiling of the Spirit is like when you open up the inner part of a particular being until everything is laid bare. You know, if you want to perform, it was this biology in school? The biology. You were in the lab. You didn't enter lab. I didn't say you missed chemical. You missed chemical and biology. That is, there was a cadaver before you, an animal. You saw the intestine, everything. You. So that is manifestation. You understand? You saw everything. They laid everything bare. They cut it open. You saw everything. That says that. That's what manifestation. That is, everything is laid bare. Now, he says, the bearing, the opening up of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When does a believer have manifestation? When you receive the Spirit at salvation. That's manifestation. Manifestation is not individual gifts. Manifestation is the Spirit is given to you once and for all in fullness. Again, you have to allow Bible words in the Bible way. So again, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Are you there? So this is but the manifestation of the Spirit is what? Giving to how many? Say giving to every man. The word giving is the word to endow. To bestow, to endow. So the manifestation of the Spirit is writing to a whole church is giving. It has been bestowed upon every man. Listen carefully. And it is for the profiting of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone you call a saint. And the purpose of the manifestation, it now directs it to ministry. Remember, diversity of gifts, one Spirit. Different ways of administering those gifts, the same Lord. Diversity of operation, which is when a believer takes the gift and administers it, is called an operation. It is still the same God who is working all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, that's the full disclosure. The Spirit in full measure is given to every man for the profiting of all. Can you see that now? So it is not manifestations. You never see it in plural. It is manifestation. It occurs once. When? When you receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. When you receive the Spirit, it's called a manifestation. Full disclosure. The Spirit laid bare. That means there's nothing of the Spirit that you don't have. That's what it means. So while we tend to focus on gifts, the writer is focusing you on manifestation. You are thinking, I have this gift, I have that gift. The writer says, no, you have the manifestation. That is, you have the Spirit fully unveiled to you. So you don't have part. You have the whole. Say amen. Remember, diversities of gifts, same Spirit. Difference of administration, same Lord. Diversity of what operations, it is same God which worketh what? What is he working? The manifestation. That fullness of the Spirit that was given, which is giving you, and you are now learning, is for the profit of all. Now he begins to give instructions. Look at next verse. Verse 8, quickly. Verse 8. But for to one is given by the Spirit what? The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Why does he keep saying same Spirit? It's because it is one Spirit, but diversities of what? Gifts. Or the same Spirit express himself in different ways. Now, what determines the expression of the Spirit? We're going to read on. See what it says. For to one is given, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another what? Gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another what? In the interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11. But all this worketh. The word worketh means energizes. That Spirit is energizing. All this worketh or energizes that one and what? Self same Spirit. So what is he saying? When you find the gifts in operation in diverse ways, your focus should be same Spirit. Your focus should not be different Spirit. Why is he saying that? So you see Brian Mide here operating by design of spirits. You see Sister Bukola here operating by gifts of healings. You see, Apostle, man of faith and power. Walking on miracles, gift of special faith for prophecy. Three combined. You are now thinking, how I wish I was Apostle. Don't wish you are Apostle because you have same Spirit. You have same Spirit. Your wish is not good. Because what Apostle has is same Spirit, which is what you have. What you find in expression is also in you, but not in expression. What you should pursue is how to express what he has expressed, since you have the same Spirit. So this things are in expression in varied ways is making you focus on the expression instead of same Spirit. If you are reading from verse 7 or from verse 4 all the way to verse 11, you will say, is there anything Paul is trying to say? Is same Spirit. You just want to focus on what? Same Spirit. For which you have the manifestation. Same Spirit. Same Spirit. Must you prophesy like Pastor prophesies? No. But you have same Spirit. But you must prophesy. Must you do it the way Pastor does it? No. Because there's hardly anyone who will express things of the Spirit and his personality will not find expression in it. You know, it should be strange if I'm prophesying and I always squint. Then you follow me so much that you're also like, you know, that's not Spirit. That is me. Have you noticed? If you raise your voice when you're prophesying, Lord said, it's like you don't even need microphone. That's how excited you get. You got excited. It is not spirit, it is you who got excited. Because somebody else will come, give the same message, and it's very calm. Even storing small, little by little. That's why you haven't thinking that is this one spirit. He was even saying it one by one. He even uses sleep by sleep. The river of grace, as it is flowing, is flowing mightily to benefit all that will. You're like, wait, Pastor Tolu talks. Pastor Tolu talks faster than this. Is this brother really of the spirit? Is how the spirit, spirit now is didn't be born in his mouth. Same spirit. Hallelujah. Same spirit. Same spirit. You give a word of knowledge, and somebody here, you have back pain, and it started about 3 days ago. Somebody else comes up and says, Pastor, I don't have this funny, as though I have pain in my back here. I think somebody else has it. Same spirit, though. Different ways of saying it. Somebody came and said that. There's somebody that has a back pain towards the right side. You came up and said that, this left side of me, I feel like there's somebody that needs same spirit, diversity of operation. Same spirit. So, I shouldn't try to be like Sister Titi who come and say that. It's like I'm feeling that. Do you know some people feel what others feel? And it's word of knowledge plus gifts of healings. And if they lay hands on you, you'll be healed. And it's an operation for the same spirit. It's same spirit. What should you be after? Same spirit. That's what you'll be after. Know that until I'm like brother Kola Wole. Ah! That brother is spiritual. He's spiritual. You too, you are spiritual. You are of the spirit. You too, you are what? Spiritual. So the issue is that he's emphasizing one thing that may say. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, sign of spirit, gift of healing, special faith, working of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongue. Say, but what? Same spirit. So all this worketh. See what it says. That one and what? The self-same spirit dividing to how many? Every. Divided to what? Every man. The word dividing means distributing. Distributing. That one. Notice that one and self-same spirit. All this that I just spoke, worketh. We are about to look at what the word worketh means, because it means energizes. That one and self-same spirit. Because again, Paul is teaching in chapter 12 what he will explain in chapter 13, for which he will give further explanation in chapter 14. What does he want you? I want to give you understanding. Why is he giving understanding? Because of where people are coming from. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. Let's go down. Look at this verse of scripture. You know people have used it to fight small wars. Look at what it says. For the prophecy came not in the time, in old time, by what? The will of man. But only men of God speak as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So here's the problem. They quote this verse of scripture and say, prophecy came not in old time by what? The will of man. But here's what they have missed out. Prophecy here is prophecy of the scriptures. It's not the simple gift of prophecy. It is prophecy of the scriptures that did not come by the will of man. The simple gift of prophecy, which is speaking unto men, edification, exhortation, and comfort, always comes by the will of man. Let's put this way. What do you mean by the will of man? It simply means inside of you, there's a reservoir of edification, which is exhortation and comfort at all times because of the Spirit of God that dwells in you at all times. Whether that edification will get to another depends strictly on you. So it's by your will. Even though the prophecy itself is not by your will. Let me say that. You understand what I just said? Let me explain. You, inside of you is a reservoir of edification at all times. Because the Spirit is in you what? At all times. And the Spirit worketh or energizes. So the Spirit always gives. The Spirit always wants to bless, wants to help, wants to strengthen, wants to encourage at all times. Because the Spirit knows no moods. The Spirit doesn't have mood swings. But you are the one through whom the Spirit will find expression. You require your will to allow what the Spirit wants to do to find expression. Hallelujah. So your will is involved if we're going to see the things of the Spirit in operation. That means God cannot bypass you to minister the things of the Spirit. By bypassing you, the only way he can bypass you you use somebody else, it will still have to use a man. So there's no gathering where God's power was at work and God was speaking that they heard the voice of God out of thin air. The voice of God heard in any gathering is always through a man. Don't forget that. I know you have watched all these films. A voice came from my son, my son, my son. It was in the firmament. That's not the way God speaks in the New Testament. There was a dramatic way God spoke because the Spirit was not dwelling inside of man. That's different. Today, notice, when it says no prophecy, it says it's talking about prophecy of Scripture. So all the prophecies that came in the Holy Scriptures didn't come by the will of man. That's true. But the prophecy as we know it today, with respect to edification, which is entertainment and comfort, comes by what? The will of man. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 11. See what it says again. But all these work at what? That one and what? The self-same Spirit dividing to every man. The word divide means to distribute to every man. Notice severally or individually. It divides individually. That's what you distribute individually. So who does the distribution? It is the Spirit. What governs the distribution? Pay attention to this. Notice as he will. Again, translation problem. It is not as the Spirit will. The word he will there is not a reference to the Spirit. It's a reference to the one who will receive it. Let me start again. Saying, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. That includes me. What's manifestation again? Full disclosure. Okay, to bear it all, to make everything open. Now, if you have the manifestation, inside manifestation, are there diversity of gifts? Are there differences of administration? Are there diversity of operation? All this worketh, that one, and self-same Spirit, dividing. What is it dividing? That's what distributing. To every man. What will he distribute? The diversities. He will distribute to every man as the man wills. Who wills what is distributed? The man. Someone says, why is it not God willing? We willing it. Because God has given you manifestation. If God gives you manifestation, full disclosure, then it's no longer God willing. It is you willing. How do you know God is willing? He gave you manifestation, full disclosure. He gave you everything without holding anything back. If he gave you everything without holding, then what governs, what finds expression, must be you being willing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Because you can get hooked up on the word will and think it is as God wills. It is as you will. So you take off the manifestation. Because within the manifestation is diversity of gifts, difference of administration. So when you see administration and operation, that is man expressing diversities of gifts. Let me say it again. When you see administration and operation, that is man expressing the things of the Spirit of diversity. That is man at work. I just gave you word of knowledge. I explained God's word just now. And I showed you two different people. One said it this way, another expressed it another way. Is it the same word of knowledge? Is it not defense of administration? Is it not diversity of operation? Yeah. How does it operate? This one had a sensation. And by that sensation, from experience, person that knows, when I feel this way, somebody has that condition that needs to be ministered to here. Another person said that there's somebody here, that one just knows, no sensation. Is it the same Spirit? Same Spirit. But diversity of operation. How many of you understand? Thank you. That's important. Now, why can every believer do something like that? What is required is this. You pick up knowledge of knowledge. Whether it is by feeling or by knowing, what matters to us is that you receive what? You, as you will to have the word of knowledge because you want to be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. That's what. That's important. So again, it is not God necessary. Today, I will allow you to have only tongues for interpretation. Brothers and sisters, if you have tongues for interpretation, you have every other thing. You can even call them the best gifts. Do you have tongues? Do you have interpretation? That's even a trick question. Because if you have tongues, you have to have interpretation. See, I have tongues and interpretation. I have tongues plus interpretation. So you cannot say, Pastor, I only have tongues. You are lying. If you have tongues, you must have what? Interpretation. Will you give interpretation? That's a different question entirely. But if you have tongues, you have what? Interpretation of tongues. It's not that some have this one, you don't know. What every believer has, what's the signature in the New Testament is that when you have tongues, you have what? Interpretation of tongues. They go together. 1 Corinthians 14. Notice all this work it. How does he work it? Pardon that phrase. How does he work it? pardon that phrase. How does he work it? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Quickly. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Yep. But he that prophesies speaks unto men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you would prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. Next verse. Now, brethren, if I come unto you, what? Speaking with tongues. Have you noticed speaking from verse 1? Okay? From speaking. That's the emphasis, speaking. Now, what is he explaining? What he said in verse 12? What is in verse 12? Manifestation. What is manifestation? All this work that one that serves the Spirit. Why is he now limiting everything he said in verse 12 to speaking? In verse 14. Church chapter 14. If not that all the manifestation and all the gifts, all the diversity has to do with what? Speaking. Or speaking is how you unfold every one of them. That's what he's trying to say. So verse 6 now begins to get into the matter properly. Because if you stop at verse 3, you start thinking, okay, prophesying. What is in verse 1? Follow after love and desire things of the Spirit. And when I say desire, I mean you should prioritize prophesying. What does it mean to prophesy? You say in verse 2, the one who does tongues only is speaking only to God, not to men. So you understand therefore what is about to teach you is this. I want to teach you how to profit men. It is okay to talk to God. But whenever you talk to God, make sure it is because you want to talk to men. So if you've spoken to God, you should be able to talk to what? To men. So if you do tongues and tongues alone, you are speaking to God, conclude it by what? Speaking to men. Are you following? Am I speaking too fast? Now, so what do I do then? It says in verse 3. He that what? In verse 3. See what it is? He that prophesies speaks unto men what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. But he that speaks, just what? Look at next verse. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5. I would, this is my will, I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather that you want prophesy. For greater. So the word greater is not a reference to the person, it's a reference to the activity of the person. What's that activity? Greater is he that prophesies than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret. Why? That the church may receive what? Edifying. Look at the next verse. Verse 6. It says, now brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Can you imagine? The manifestation of Spirit is given to everyone for what? The profit of all. What shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by what? But he just said that if I come to you speaking with tongues. So obviously, if I want to come with you to you by revelation, where do I begin from? If I want to come to you by revelation, where do I start from? From tongues. So I can say, I'm fishing for revelation, so I do tongues. I'm fishing for gift of healing, so I do tongues. I'm fishing for working of miracles, so I do tongues. I'm fishing for design of spirit, so I do tongues. Hallelujah. So when I do tongues, I'm fishing for all the operations of the Spirit. That's why I do tongues. That's what I'm doing. So if I continue doing tongues for a while, I'm searching, I'm fishing. Which one will be appropriate to profit you? Because all this worketh that one and serves in spirit. But when you now hear the word worketh is not a function of an independent activity of the Spirit. Worketh is the man who is standing up to prophesy. I've jumped. Let me slow down. Hallelujah. I'm trying to prep your mind for Saturday. Even though I'm teaching about ultras. But look at this way. All this worketh, that one that serves in spirit. What is what worketh? Energizes. Dividing to every man. So how does he work? By dividing. What is dividing? Distributing. What governs distribution? It is as the men will. So what does the Spirit distribute individually? What the men are willing to receive. How does a man become willing? Follow after charity, desire. That's the first thing. So a man picks up tongues as a testimony of his desire. A man will pick up tongues as a testimony of his desire. So when I do tongues, I am showing you where my desire is. I want to profit you. That's what my desire is. Let me say it again. This is why God's word is so beautiful. When you stand before someone, listen carefully. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be under any tension. All that thing about, what will I say? What will I say? What if I miss it? What do I say? You will not miss it. Because you are showing your desire. Now, you believe that you want to bless. The substance you're going to bless with is of the Spirit. The Spirit is more willing than you are to bless somebody through you. So if the Spirit will not fail, then you should not fear. If the Spirit will not fail, then you should not fear. You wonder why I walk into, sometimes when we're having a meeting, I'm talking, and do I sometimes get carried away. I discovered over time that if I get close to people, I start picking things about them. I know he needs money, this money. He needs money. Am I lying? You need money right now for certain things. Yes or no? As a big person. Now, when you're ministry also, you learn also not to give details publicly, but to talk to the person privately. I don't need to tell you what he needs money for, because it's not your money. I didn't know that until I moved closer to him. Now, the Spirit wants to, now, he hasn't spoken to me. I know he needs money. What is the word of wisdom? The money will come. In ways he's not even expecting, the money will come. He has cracked his head thinking, how will I, if I had this, he's thought of different ways that I can put, but the way he's thinking is not the way the thing will come together. It will come together by another means entirely, but he's going to get the money. Hallelujah. Now, but when you give a word like somebody that the Spirit of God says this, listen, it's not as though you don't know God knows. But when a believer you've never spoken to tells you, God says you need money, you know, you are assured, God is on my case. Yes. If you could send somebody come and tell me that he's going to, that means he's on my word. Okay. That is what you are comforted. That's comfort. That's comfort. That's how God works. Now, imagine me saying like this. He just picked up that he needs money. That's it. Who doesn't need money? That's not God. That's not God. That's why. Can God be asking now? Who knows whether he has a lot of money now? In fact, we are looking at him. I need money from him. Do you know somebody can be more well dressed than you are, financially better off than you are? And when they say, we say they need money, it is because of the kind of project they are handling that's beyond what you call, it's not chicken change. He needs a particular amount for a particular project that is even bigger. And he has been talking to God about it. And then God wants to use you, and you are like, I don't know this brother. I don't want to be able to say, sister, do I look like I need money? So self-consciousness has now taken you over. You are no longer ministering. Meanwhile, what does it cause you to say that, sir? If you can even ask a question, man, I don't know. Are you trusting God for money a particular project or something? You can ask questions. So I hope you know. Come, minister. You know what some people's problem is? You want to act like Moses. Just hear the Lord. You need money. You need money. It's not money you need. Please don't be like Moses. Investigate. Jesus investigated. Go and call your husband. Jesus said to the woman by the well, if it was you, you had to just sink. When my woman said, I have no husband. He said, see how I miss God. I'm not ministering again. Bramatis, over to you. I'm not doing it. But I heard that Stephen said, yeah, she has husband. Say, I have no husband. Say, you say, go and call your husband. When he said, I have no husband, Jesus said, yes, you have had five. But the one you have now is not your husband. That is more facts came. You can interrogate with revelation gifts. Don't get so easily. When it comes to you have to press in if you want to get better. You have to press in. There's nothing wrong in going to say, ma, it's like, I don't know if you are trusting God for a particular amount for a project. It's not wrong. It's okay. You are testing the waters. You are getting better. And for every result you get, you become more bold. Hallelujah. You become more bold. Isn't that not better than sitting down in your chair and gumming yourself to your chair? And not getting up out of fear. Hallelujah. Or somebody comes to come and meet you. Fear not. Fear not. They are ministering to you within the meeting. Yeah, sister, you are afraid. Fear not. Fear not. God says, fear not. Somebody else comes. Spirit of God says that you should get up. they should minister to you about that. They should minister to you about something deeper than those kind of suffering because you are not acting upon God's word. So, again, notice, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Where is profiting? Profiting is in revelation and knowledge and prophesying or a teaching. That's where profiting is. But how do I lay hold on the profiting? I fish for it. How do I fish for it? I start come to you speaking with tongues. If I come to you speaking with tongues, I am fishing for something of the Spirit that will bless you. So the one who is doing tongues is fulfilling 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire things of the Spirit. It says, follow after love and desire things of the Spirit, but rather you may want prophesy. So how do I show desire? I come to you speaking with tongues. That's what I'm doing. And when I come to you speaking with tongues, look at verse 14. Verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit does what? Praise. But my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What is it then? Or what is the summary? Or what I've been discussing from verse 1? I've told you in verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather you prophesied. For greater is it that word prophesied than is that speaking tongues, except interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. If I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Then step by step begin. Now says in verse 15, what is the conclusion of what I'm teaching? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with interpretation also. The word understanding there is interpretation, what I said in the Spirit. And he uses the word I will. I will. I will. I will. What affects my will? My desire. I desire. Therefore, I will. I desire, therefore, I will. How do I speak with tongues today? By my will. What governs my will? My desire. Let me say it again. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with what? The understanding or with the word interpretation. Also means in the same way I did it with the Spirit, I will do it with my understanding also. Hallelujah. Let me say it this way. Do you speak with tongues? It says the same way also you do interpretation the same way. No, it's a ceaseless flow. One follows the other by will. Also by will you separate them. By will you allow them to flow forth. So again, it's not that somebody comes to patch you and says, Brabola, that tongue you just gave now, let me tell you interpretation so you can tell everybody. You that give the tongue, you have the interpretation. You have the interpretation. The word also means in the same way you spoke the tongue, the utterance for interpretation is came also with the tongue that you spoke. That's what it means. So I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the Spirit. I will sing with what? The Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit also. Let me say something here and I'll just stop. I'll stop along this. I will stop this particular thought. See what it says? I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing. You can sing with the Spirit, listen carefully, with a particular melody. And when you want to sing that interpretation, it will be with another melody. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Okay, so the melody can change. It is the habitation that remains the same. The melody can change. It's not, yeah, the way I was singing that song, I was using so-and-so key before. When I sang the habitation, the key now changed. That must mean the habitation. No, interpretation is the habitation. That is why somebody can come to you, speak with tongues for 30 seconds, and interpret for 5 minutes. Interpretation is a supernatural showing forth of the meaning of what you said in tongues. Listen carefully. 22 years ago, it's 22, 21 years ago, I was in a meeting. I still remember the tongues. I can tell you tongues today. I was ministering along with a fellow minister, and a tongue came up on the inside. I still remember, I can still say it to you today, after 20 something years, because it was the way it came out, it was interesting. I just kept saying, Casa, Casa, Loburo, Loburo, Locuso, Locuso, Nikanika. It sounds like Spanish or something. Don't say, why did I remember? Because of the way it sounds, that's why I remember stuff. I just said it a few times. And it was an instruction. Guess what the instruction was? Call out everyone who's going for service here and pray for them. Is that not a revelation? Is that not a revelation? Now, here's the issue. When I spoke out that tongue, first time, second time, third time, I suddenly knew. The other person also knew that was an interpretation of it. So, as I was saying it, I was fishing for revelation. The revelation came with an instruction. All of them won't go in for service here now and pray for them, lay hands on them. So, instructions can come by tongues and what? Interpretation. Imagine if I just did tongues. I will not profit anybody. Meanwhile, the profiting was in the revelation and instruction, which was pray for everybody go for service here that year. So, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you by what? Revelation. By. So, that's where the issue is. I shall. I shall means it is according to your will. You are the one who decides to unveil whatever it is that you are trying to give to me in tongues. It's like this. You came, you brought a package, you helped me to unwrap it so that I can get benefit from it. Glory to God. That's what it means. That's what I said. What then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with what? Understanding also, or in like manner, the same way. Now, if we're going to have like 6 hours to flow in the Spirit, that means we can take our time. No rushing. We can. That means you can say, first round, everybody, edify yourself. We'll calm down. Everybody, let's sing in tongues. We'll calm down. We ask one or two people, Bar Martins, give us a song. If Bar Martin checks his head, he may find nothing there. Except schoolwork. If he checks his spirit, guess what will happen? We place a demand on him. Why are we placing demand? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So, why are we asking Brother Martins? Why do we ask Brother Kola? Is that Brother Kola doesn't have manifestation of the Spirit? Yeah, does. Why are we asking Brother Martins? Because Brother Martins is given to singing. So, it's more used to give you the Spirit that way. So, that's why there are some messages or certain things that some people are better suited to giving, even though all of us can pick up the same. Some people are more suited to giving it, even though all of us can. Because sometimes when you say that somebody has a song, and when you started the song, all of us knew you should not sing. Because your key couldn't be found on the keyboard. Bradim is struggling with the guitar string that my guitar string does not have any of this kind of key there. My Martin is like, he checked everyone, low, high, everything. The one, the white one and the black one, nothing is working. So, what should an intelligent believer say? Brethren, I will not sing, I will say it. Somebody says, William Zimpak. Yes, it's the words that bless us. It's the words that bless us. It's the words that will bless us. You can actually say it. You can sing a psalm or chant a psalm. You can sing a psalm or chant a psalm. A new course, a new path, a new way, given wings by heaven. Heaven's backing is all yours now. As you make the plans, step out in faith. Boldness will attest to what God has spoken to you. What he spoke to you out in private, it will soon become public news because of your obedience and your faithfulness will be rewarded. And the angels will be in attendance, and your expectation shall not be cut off. That is a psalm. A psalm that has a specific instruction and also carries some level of revelation to encourage someone. Did I stop to think I will miss it if I start thinking? If I start looking at, is English correct? Did I say what's when I was supposed to say where? No. I don't need to. If I stop, hallelujah. Fret not. Have no anxiety. How will I gather the house together? You don't need to gather it. I will gather it, said the Lord. I will sort it out for you. Trust in me. Give me thanks. Give me praise. Rejoice in me only and always. And I will sort it out for you. Hallelujah. So you hear things like that. If you stop to start examining, you will just miss it. Thank God that God is the God of second chance. He will still come again to you. Oh, yeah. Perform. Yeah, see what you're meant to say. Because the more you plumb the depth of the Spirit, what will profit all men? And don't look at men's faces. You will get in the flesh. That's why I said that. If you look at somebody who's so wedded and you are sensing their finances, like, this brother cannot be needing money. This brother cannot be needing money. I know I need money. You know this brother. You know what you're doing? You're looking at faces. I told you years ago, I've never forgotten. I say it in my teaching to remind myself never to do that kind of thing again. Because it cost me big. I got to a meeting and I saw in a flash that there was someone there who was impotent and that Jesus will hold that person and heal him. I couldn't give it. I looked at everybody is able-bodied. It's the direct light of people's faces. Just because I was afraid to meet that thing. Hey, I've never been here before. This is my first time in this church. I will not come and say somebody is impotent. You not say, is anybody here? You know, you cannot even say, is anybody here? Nobody. You don't know how it feels. And we had beautiful meeting. Power, Holy Ghost. This very interesting. The person that was affected later became like a son to me. And because after the meeting, God just walked up to me and said, sir, and whispered in my ears. It was exactly the same case. And the person told me something interesting. Because the building where they were using for church was on the second floor of the building. So as I was coming down of the car, I was coming and they were escorting me down. He was seeing me for the first time. He said, sincerely, God is his witness. The first thing I was like, wait. This pastor that has Afro doesn't have to talk like this. He said he was surprised, overwhelmed by the power of God that happened that and everything. When he was in there, I was busy repenting. I didn't call out the case. Are you the healer? Wait, what's your own? You are not the healer. The healer showed you what he wants to do. You are busy thinking about yourself. The boy is fine. He's fine now. But nothing happened in that meeting because I couldn't reverse the whole thing again. I couldn't just, I will never do that again. Now, it's better for you to give the word and miss it and learn than for you not to give it. I've been in a meeting before. I spoke out. I said, there's a young lady here. Used an abortion. So. See me after the meeting. She didn't see me. Now, if you don't know by experience the things of the spirit, you will think you missed it, isn't it? But I don't pick up. That one doesn't come to my imagination. I knew there was somebody there like that. But I also knew enough to know not to call the person out. Because it was a fellowship. Almost 2 years after, I was in the mall when a lady came to greet me from behind, knelt down and held my leg. Since I gave it, I was a person, I was in that meeting. After he spoke that word, this was going on. I was restored, I was healed, everything's fine now. But she didn't come out. So if you are beating yourself, God has done his work. You are just looking for. Yeah, so you cannot afford to. Hallelujah. You can afford to. So stop being self-conscious if you want to flow in things of the spirit. Stop being self-conscious. Allow yourself, release yourself, get ready to be a blessing to someone, get ready to profit someone with the things of the spirit. Say, I will profit someone with the things of the spirit. This Saturday, I will give myself to the things of the spirit. I'll profit someone with the manifestation of the spirit within me. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, because of time, let's stop here tonight.